Welcome to day 254 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries, and today we are going to complete our reading of the book of the prophet Ezekiel. We have made progress through this book over these past several weeks, and today we will complete it by reading chapters 46, 47, and 48. We are reading in the New American Standard Bible this week, and today we'll hear one of the most beautiful pictures that we find presented in Scripture, where the prophet Ezekiel, who's being given a tour by the Lord through this temple in Jerusalem that was rebuilt in the millennium when the Lord returns, and he sees an amazing scene in chapter 47, and it's the place where the water is pouring out from under the temple and going out and spreading and getting deeper and deeper, and it's quite an amazing scene, and that will be the subject of our devotional today. And it's a beautiful picture and a beautiful encouragement for us in these New Testament days. But let us begin at chapter 46 of Ezekiel in the New American Standard Bible, starting at the first verse. Thus says the Lord God, the gate of the inner court facing east shall be shut the 6 working days, but it shall be opened on the Sabbath day and opened on the day of the new moon. The prince shall enter by way of the porch of the gate from outside and stand by the post of the gate. Then the priests shall provide his burnt offering and his peace offerings, and he shall worship at the threshold of the gate and then go out. But the gate shall not be shut until the evening. The people of the land shall also worship at the doorway of that gate before the Lord on the Sabbaths and on the new moons. The burnt offering which the prince shall offer to the Lord on the Sabbath day shall be 6 lambs without blemish and a ram without blemish. And the grain offering shall be an ephah with the ram, and the grain offering with the lambs as much as he is able to give, and a hin of oil with an ephah. On the day of the new moon he shall offer a young bull without blemish, also 6 lambs and a ram, which shall be without blemish. And he shall provide a grain offering, an ephah with the bull, and an ephah with the ram, and with the lambs as much as he is able, and a hin of oil with an ephah. When the prince enters, he shall go in by way of the porch of the gate and go out by the same way. But when the people of the land come before the Lord at the appointed feasts, he who enters by the way of the north gate to worship shall go out by the way of the south gate, and he who enters by the way of the south gate shall go out by the way of the north gate. No one shall return by way of the gate by which he entered, but shall go straight out. When they go in, the prince shall go in among them, and when they go out, he shall go out. At the festivals and the appointed feasts, the grain offering shall be an ephah with a bull and an ephah with a ram, and with the lambs as much as one is able to give, and a hin of oil with an ephah. When the prince provides a free will offering, a burnt offering, or peace offerings as a free will offering to the Lord, the gate facing east shall be open for him, and he shall provide his burnt offering and his peace offerings as he does on the Sabbath day. Then he shall go out, and the gate shall be shut after he goes out. And you shall provide a lamb, a year old without blemish, for a burnt offering to the Lord daily. Morning by morning you shall provide it. Also you shall provide a grain offering with it morning by morning, and a sixth of an ephah and a third of a hin of oil to moisten the fine flour, a grain offering to the Lord continually by a perpetual ordinance. Thus they shall provide the lamb, the grain offering, and the oil, morning by morning, for a continual burnt offering. Thus says the Lord God, if the prince gives a gift out of his inheritance to any of his sons, it shall belong to his sons. It is their possession by inheritance. But if he gives a gift from his inheritance to one of his servants, it shall be his until the year of liberty. Then it shall return to the prince. His inheritance shall be only his sons, it shall belong to them. The prince shall not take from the people's inheritance, thrusting them out of their possession. He shall give his sons' inheritance from his own possession, so that my people will not be scattered, anyone from his possession. Then he brought me through the entrance, which was at the side of the gate, into the holy chambers for the priests, which face north. And behold, there was a place at the extreme rear toward the west. He said to me, "This is the place where the priests shall boil the guilt offering and the sin offering, and where they shall bake the grain offering, in order that they may not bring them out into the outer court to transmit holiness to the people." Then he brought me out into the outer court and led me across to the four corners of the court, and behold, in every corner of the court there was a small court. In the four corners of the court there were enclosed courts, 40 cubits long and 30 wide. These four in the corners were the same size. There was a row of masonry round about in them, around the four of them, and boiling places were made under the rows round about. Then he said to me, "These are the boiling places where the ministers of the house shall boil the sacrifices of the people." Chapter 47. Then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east, for the house faced east. And the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate, and led me around on the outside to the outer gate by the way of the gate that faces east. And behold, water was trickling from the south side. When the man went out toward the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water, water reaching the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000, and he led me through the water, water reaching the knees. Again, he measured 1,000, and led me through the water, water reaching the loins. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen, enough water to swim in, a river that could not be forded. He said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me back to the bank of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, on the bank of the river there were very many trees, on the one side and on the other. Then he said to me, "These waters go out toward the eastern region, and go down into the Arabah. Then they go toward the sea, being made to flow into the sea, and the waters of the sea become fresh. It will come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes will live. There will be very many fish, for these waters go there and the others become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes. And it will come about that fishermen will stand beside it, from Engedi to Engalim. There will be a place for the spreading of nets. Their fish will be according to their kinds, like the fish of the great sea, very many. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. By the river, on its banks, on one side and on the other, will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear every month because their water flows from the sanctuary, and their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. Thus says the Lord God, this shall be the boundary by which you shall divide the land for an inheritance among the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph shall have two portions. You shall divide it for an inheritance, each one equally with the other. For I swore to give it to your forefathers, and this land shall fall to you as an inheritance. This shall be the boundary of the land. On the north side, from the great sea by the way of Hethlon to the entrance of Zedad, Hamath, Berothah, Sibraim, which is between the border of Damascus and the border of Hamath, Hazir, Hadakon, which is by the border of Haran, the boundary shall extend from the sea to Hazaranan at the border of Damascus, and on the north, toward the north, is the border of Hamath. This is the north side. The east side, from between Haran, Damascus, Gilead, and the land of Israel, shall be the Jordan. From the north border to the eastern sea you shall measure. This is the east side. The south side, toward the south, shall extend from Tamar, as far as the waters of Meribath Kadesh, to the brook of Egypt, and to the great sea. This is the south side, toward the south. The west side shall be the great sea, from the south border to a point opposite Lebo Hamath. This is the west side. So you shall divide this land among yourselves according to the tribes of Israel. You shall divide it by lot for an inheritance among yourselves and among the aliens who stay in your midst, who bring forth sons in your midst. And they shall be to you as the native born among the sons of Israel. They shall be allotted an inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel. And in the tribe with which the alien stays, there you shall give him his inheritance. Chapter 48. Now these are the names of the tribes. From the northern extremity, beside the way of Hethlon to Lebo Hamath, as far as Hazaranan, at the border of Damascus, toward the north, beside Hamath, running from east to west, Dan, one portion. Beside the border of Dan, from the east side to the west side, Asher, one portion. Beside the border of Asher, from the east side to the west side, Naphtali, one portion. Beside the border of Naphtali, from the east side to the west side, Manasseh, one portion. Beside the border of Manasseh, from the east side to the west side, Ephraim, one portion. Beside the border of Ephraim, from the east side to the west side, Reuben, one portion. Beside the border of Reuben, from the east side to the west side, Judah, one portion. And beside the border of Judah, from the east side to the west side, shall be the allotment which you shall set apart, 25,000 cubits in width and in length, like one of the portions, from the east side to the west side, and the sanctuary shall be in the middle of it. The allotment that you shall set apart to the Lord shall be 25,000 cubits in length and 10,000 in width. The holy allotment shall be for these, namely for the priests. Toward the north, 25,000 cubits in length, toward the west, 10,000 in width, toward the east, 10,000 in width, and toward the south, 25,000 in length. And the sanctuary of the Lord shall be in its midst. It shall be for the priests who are sanctified of the sons of Zadok, who have kept my charge, who did not go astray when the sons of Israel went astray, as the Levites went astray. It shall be an allotment to them from the allotment of the land, a most holy place by the border of the Levites. Alongside the border of the priests, the Levites shall have 25,000 cubits in length and 10,000 in width. The whole length shall be 25,000 cubits and the width 10,000. Moreover, they shall not sell or exchange any of it or alienate this choice portion of land, for it is holy to the Lord. The remainder, 5,000 cubits in width and 25,000 in length, shall be for common use for the city, for dwellings and for open spaces, and the city shall be in its midst. These shall be its measurements: the north side, 4,500 cubits, the south side, 4,500 cubits, the east side, 4,500 cubits, and the west side, 4,500 cubits. The city shall have open spaces on the north, 250 cubits, on the south 250 cubits, and on the east 250 cubits, and on the west 250 cubits. The remainder of the length alongside the holy allotment shall be 10,000 cubits toward the east and 10,000 toward the west, and it shall be alongside the holy allotment, and its produce shall be food for the workers of the city. The workers of the city, out of all the tribes of Israel, shall cultivate it. The whole allotment shall be 25,000 by 25,000 cubits. You shall set apart the holy allotment a square with the property of the city. The remainder shall be for the prince, on the one side and on the other of the holy allotment and of the property of the city, in front of the 25,000 cubits of the allotment toward the east border, and westward in front of the 25,000 toward the west border, alongside the portions, it shall be for the prince. And the holy allotment and the sanctuary of the house shall be in the middle of it, exclusive of the property of the Levites and the property of the city, which are in the middle of that which belongs to the prince. Everything between the border of Judah and the border of Benjamin shall be for the prince. As for the rest of the tribes, from the east side to the west side, Benjamin one portion, beside the border of Benjamin, from the east side to the west side, Simeon one portion. Beside the border of Simeon, from the east side to the west side, Issachar one portion. Beside the border of Issachar, from the east side to the west, Zebulun one portion. Beside the border of Zebulun, from the east side to the west side, Gad one portion. And beside the border of Gad, at the south side, toward the south, the border shall be from Tamar to the waters of Meribath Kadesh, to the brook of Egypt, to the great sea. This is the land which you shall divide by lot to the tribes of Israel, for an inheritance, and these are their several portions, declares the Lord God. These are the exits of the city. On the north side, 4,500 cubits by measurement, shall be the gates of the city, named for the tribes of Israel. Three gates toward the north, the gate of Reuben 1, the gate of Judah 1, the gate of Levi 1. On the east side, 4,500 cubits shall be three gates, the gate of Joseph 1, the gate of Benjamin 1, the gate of Dan 1. On the south side, 4,500 cubits by measure shall be three gates, the gate of Simeon 1, the gate of Issachar 1, the gate of Zebulun 1. On the west side, 4,500 cubits shall be three gates, the gate of Gad 1, the gate of Asher 1, the gate of Naphtali 1. The city shall be 18,000 cubits round about, and the name of the city from that day shall be The Lord Is There. This is the end of the book of Ezekiel and the end of today's scripture reading. In today's devotional, I want to focus exclusively on the beautiful imagery that we heard in chapter 47, where the Lord showed Ezekiel this water that was flowing from under the threshold of the temple, from the altar area, and it flowed out, and it got deeper and deeper, and it was this amazing water that was literally flowing from the altar of God, from the temple there in Jerusalem. Now remember, this vision that Ezekiel saw was an end time vision. The Lord was showing him something that was going to happen in the future. Even to this day, the temple described in Ezekiel here has not been rebuilt. We don't have this temple existing yet, and it is for a future time. Most scholars believe that this entire reference to this temple that we find here in these last chapters of Ezekiel are referring to a temple that will be rebuilt in the millennium, which is that 1,000-year reign of Christ when he comes back to the earth. That's what most scholars believe. So we're talking about a temple on the earth, not a supernatural spiritual picture, but a real temple that's built, and how there's going to be water flowing out from under it, and how it gets deeper and deeper, which we'll talk about in a minute. But there's a few other references that we haven't come to yet, and I'll just mention them briefly, that seem to be a reference to the same thing. We'll be coming soon to the book of Joel, and then to Zechariah, and eventually to Revelation. And each of them has a passage that scholars believe are talking about the same thing. So in Joel 3:18, it says, "And in that day," and again, that's a end time reference, talking about in the future, end times, "the mountains will drip with sweet wine, and the hills will flow with milk, and all the brooks of Judah will flow with water, and a spring will go out from the house of the Lord to water the valley of Shittim." So this reference, Bible scholars believe, is talking about the same thing. A different prophet, different vision, but he sees in the spirit a spring going out from the temple of God. The second reference I want to bring to your attention is in the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, verse 8. Another, in that day, it says, "And in that day, living waters will flow out of Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and the other half toward the western sea. It will be in summer as well as in winter." So again, an end time reference of this supernatural event happening where there's living waters flowing out of Jerusalem. And then the last one, and probably the most profound, is found in chapter 22 of the book of Revelation. I'm sure you've heard these beautiful words. Let me read them to you. "Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its street. On either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Now these verses very well correspond to what we found in Ezekiel. We saw this water flowing out from the altar area of the temple in Revelation, waters flowing out from the throne of God. And on the side of the river was a tree bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding fruit every month. And the leaves were for the healing of the nations. That's in Revelation, but in Ezekiel, we find the same idea. On the earth, the Lord, in a way, prefigures what people will experience in heaven with this temple in Jerusalem. And with that, when the water's flowing out from the temple and the water's coming out of from the altar area, flowing outside, trickling down, and when that angel took Ezekiel to see this river that was flowing, it said, when he measured it, he went 1,000 cubits, which is about 2,000 feet, and he led him through the water, and the water was reaching his ankles. Then he went about another 2,000 feet, and the water was reaching up to his knees. And then another 2,000 feet further, and the water was reaching his loins. And then another 1,000 feet, and it became a river that he couldn't cross. It was water deep enough to swim in. It was over his head. Now, what does this beautiful picture or imagery that we're presented with here in Ezekiel, and then, of course, in these other portions of scripture that I mentioned, what is this referring to? What does it represent? What is it symbolic of for us? Well, it seems that it is speaking of a natural or true and real occurrence that will happen in the end times when that temple is indeed built and the Lord returns to reign. So it's a beautiful picture of this living water, which is a representation, no doubt, of what we will see in heaven when we stand before the throne of God as Revelation 22 tells us, he saw this river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and from the Lamb. So that is something so beautiful. But this picture in Ezekiel really speaks to us of something, I believe, representative of both the move of God, the influence of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Think about this. This picture that Ezekiel saw was one of a temple in Jerusalem and water coming from that temple area, from the altar area. The altar is where the sacrifice is slain. We know that Jesus Christ offered himself as a sacrifice once for all. And it was a sacrifice of his life, his blood being shed, his death and his resurrection that brought us life. So this picture of the water of life flowing from that altar area speaks of what Jesus did and the influence of the sacrifice of Jesus flowing out from Jerusalem deeper and wider and going out until it says it reached the sea. Now in scripture, the seas normally represent peoples and people groups. To me, this is a picture of the influence of God, the work of Christ flowing out from Jerusalem. Jesus was crucified just outside Jerusalem. Jesus was buried in Jerusalem. Jesus rose from the grave in Jerusalem. This water of life flowing out from Jerusalem, getting deeper and wider and going all over the earth, is a picture of the influence of Christ as it is spread abroad. We live in a day when the spreading of the gospel has become magnified, amplified, increased more than any other time on the planet or in the history of mankind since Jesus' death and resurrection. It started in Jerusalem. It began to spread out from there. It went to Samaria, and it went on and on to the uttermost parts of the earth, as the scripture tells us. We see this picture here with this water flowing from Jerusalem, moving out. Then I want you to consider the meaning of the depth of that river of water. It says, when the man took him, he led him through the water, water that was reaching his ankles. Now, we think about a person who gives their life to Christ, who becomes full of the Spirit of God, and they begin to walk with God. And in a sense, it's a picture of that. This man walking through the water, this water of life, he's walking with God. But then, as he got farther along in his walk, the water rose. It became deeper. It began to reach his knees. Then, further along, it began to reach to the loins or the waist area. Then, if he continued on, he would end up in a depth of this river of life that he could not control, where the river's carrying him. He's not fording the river. He's not crossing the river. He's not walking in the river. The river is carrying him. To me, this is a picture of a person's walk with God. If they will continue with God, and not stay in one place where the water's just to the ankles, it's just enough to walk with God, but will allow an increase of God's power and passion in life, a person will experience more of the Lord, mature in the Lord, have more of a depth of relationship with the Lord, go farther with God. God wants all of us to allow the water to become more than we can control. Where the water, we cannot cross it. We're consumed with it. It's carrying us. That would be a picture of a person who've completely given their life over to the Lord without reservation. Because when you're just walking in ankle-deep water, you can control it. Even if it's moving fast, you can still keep a hold of yourself. But when you get to the point where the water's over your head and you're completely taken by that river, wherever the river goes, that's a different story. That's a different walk with God. That's a different level of commitment. That's a different level of seriousness with the Lord. God wants to give you the fullness of His Spirit. And I love the picture of this water as the fullness of the Spirit of God, where a person is allowing themselves to be carried by the Spirit wherever the river goes. The interesting thing that was spoken here in Ezekiel 46 that was so beautiful, that said, wherever the river goes, the creatures that were in that area will live. Do you know that when you carry the Spirit of God and you allow the Spirit of God to carry you, wherever you go, whatever is in that area will live, because you bring life with you. You speak life. You bring life. That's God's desire for you. Not to just stay in ankle deep water in God, where you're a little bit wet in the feet there. You know that you know God. You know you've given your life to Christ. You consider yourself a Christian. You are walking with Him. You do pray. But there's not such a commitment where you'll just allow yourself to go wherever the river goes. You can still control the direction of your walk. God wants you to come in deeper. There's deeper water spiritually for you. There's deeper water for you in every area of your life with God. God's inviting you. Come in. The water's great. Because wherever the river of life goes, wherever this water that we see described here goes, everything lives. Everything becomes fresh. The salt water becomes fresh. Imagine that. The waters of the sea became fresh when it flowed into that sea. God's calling you to be one that what you bring with you brings life, brings a freshness wherever you go. Everything will live where the river goes, it says in Ezekiel 47, verse 9. God wants you to be a carrier of the Spirit of God, fully given over to the Spirit of God, so He can be the one directing your life. But He can use you to bring life wherever you go. God bless you and give you a victorious week.